Once this became a topic of work based upon A, the desire for guidance. You know, the government is wonderful for having policy out there about how to do just about everything, and most social networking tools come with no rules of the road. And so as the way the internet is moved towards user-generated content, we felt that there was a void that we could help fill regarding what are best practices? What are some guidance and helpful hints and just suggestions to mitigate some of the security risks associated with social media in A, doing your job, or just at home? If you're a Facebook king or queen, you know, what do you want to make sure that you're mindful of as you engage the technology?
And is a lot of it in security framework, we often talk about mitigating risk and doing sort of risk assessments. Is that part of what you're encouraging folks to do, or is it something beyond, even beyond that?
It's actually not quite to that level of risk management. It becomes risk management once you're aware of the potential risks associated with the use of social media. Social media has a powerful collaboration engine associated with it, and the ability to reach out and touch folks in different ways than you ever thought possible and stay connected with them. At the same time, when you're in, and I won't name any specific applications, but when you're in certain applications and you click on a link, are you sure what's going to happen when that link is clicked, even though you know it came from one of your friends? And I think anybody, at least on the security side, would say you hope you know what's going to happen. And so the idea was to provide them with a little discussion piece that helps them rationalize and maybe be aware of some things they weren't. So as they approach this tool set, that they're aware of what could happen and what might not happen and how to, you know, at least reduce their risk surface so that they can use it and enjoy it or use it for their mission purpose, but not fall prey to some of the downsides of it.
Oftentimes when the government is buying IT, they're such an enormous buyer that they can say, okay, we need security to address this, and they almost can define that market, and folks like Microsoft have come up with the secure desktop configuration specifically to address the government's needs. I know that various folks have reached out to Facebook and Twitter to address some of their security issues. And at least my sense from talking to folks who have been in on those meetings is they sort of say, okay, yeah, not really interested in dealing with that.
Well, we, interestingly enough, held, we, the DOD, Dave Winogrand and his team, held a social network summit or a Web 2.0 summit with Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and several others, Craigslist, to talk about this various facet of, okay, what's inherently in the tools, and how do I know when I engage one of the top 10 or top 15 tools that I'm protected inherently? And so there was a good discussion about, certainly I'm not going to reveal trade secrets level, but at an open level of the kinds of protections that are built in, that the tools use to make sure privacy is recognized, and some other features of security, malware, things like that. And at the same time, you know, the real discussion was how best can we take advantage of these tools, maybe inside our own firewall. And so that debate is ongoing, and we learned a lot yesterday, and I think they learned a little bit more about where certainly the DOD is coming from. So this document was meant to provide some advice and counsel socialized across the federal CIOs with an opportunity to comment or change, so that it is sort of a, all right, here's what we all think is some best practices to use when you engage those tools.
And in so many ways, DOD is really on the front lines, no pun intended, of dealing with this issue, as the Pentagon is, we hear, soon going to release its sort of policy memo coming out on how you actually address these across DOD.
That's correct. We are, matter of fact, this document, Brian Burns, who's been working for me for the last year, was one of the principal authors of this document, and he has also been helping Dave Winogrand Sagran and his team write and help craft the right set of policies and implementation directives. So not only, okay, here's the rule set, but here's how I want you to now engage these tools for the foreseeable future. And that is getting ready to pop in the next in the coming weeks here. As soon as it gets done, it's infinite routing that we're right. always good at, making sure everybody has a chance to look at something. But we're trying to make sure that we make the right risk-based decision when we engage these tools, because there are downfalls associated with it. And if you're aware of them and the benefits outweigh the risks, then your decision is clear. If the benefits do not outweigh the risks, then you got to make sure you're doing the right thing.
And one of the things that has frustrated me a little bit is it seems like a little bit we have sort of the Web 2.0 camp and the security camp, and it seems to me that there's an opportunity to collaborate on solutions for some of these problems, and sometimes they get sort of encamped in their various positions and don't talk as much to each other as they really could.
That's correct, Chris. There is, the security folks, which I actually wear both hats. You know, there is the sharing and access team, and there is the security team. And we need to be able to balance this polarity. You know, this is a wonderful book by Dr. Barry Johnson. You have to have both. You have to be able to share securely information that you need and collaborate securely. And notice I said, securely on both sides of that open access side, open access argument. So we need to work the problem with both results in mind so that we get to the right answer. If I completely open up our information, I have a different problem. If I lock it down securely, I don't collaborate and I don't get anywhere. So we need to make sure both are talking and both are part of the solution, and they both understand how each other's world plays in the eventual answer of a risk-based decision.
And at some point, it also seems like there needs to be almost more, it takes a more nuanced look at the data that we have and making, now we have so many categories for things. Is this something that, what's our risk if this does get out, and making an assessment in that way? I mean, if USA.gov information gets out, well, it's already public, so no big loss. But if it is secret, then we want to think twice about maybe sharing it in some kind of collaborative tool.
Yeah, we are very careful of OPSEC. It does play a part here, but operation security, aka classified information spilling somewhere, that is a separate problem. There are rules and regulations that govern that very carefully, and occasionally does the system trip and stumble? Yes, but this is really about the controlled unclassified or FOUO type information, our business information. How do you share it? How do you put it out? Do these tools serve that purpose? I mean, clearly, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Admiral Mullen, is a Facebook guy, puts out strategic messages on Facebook, and he, I believe, is using that as a platform to put the message out. Admiral Stavridis, who is our commander of U.S. European Command, does the same thing. So they are power users of the platform to deliver messages on behalf of their organizations. So the public affairs and the strategic messaging is a definite outcome for this. Using this as a recruiting tool is a definite outcome. Beyond that, you got to really go find the mission uses for it, and sometimes the mission uses for the Web 2.0 or social media become inside the firewall, right? There's lots of opportunities to decide how much of do we take our unclassified .gov or .mil networks and span across into the internet to do work, and that's what we need to be able to manage and provide advice and counsel through this document, some thoughts on how best to hit various aspects of that.
So what's the one message you hope that, I know there are a number of messages, but if there's one message you could give to folks to take away from this document that the CIO Council has put out, what would that be?
To just spend 5 minutes reading it, and if you walk away with one or two ahas, and you happen to be a user of one of the social media tools, you can come to your own self-analysis that I do that, yet the document recommends not, then I think that's a victory. And if you can apply that to the organizations doing that and the document recommends something else, right, then it's an organizational victory. So I just hope people peruse it and scan it, specifically those folks who are not in the IT business, but they are users and consumers of social media. Remember, social media doesn't come with a rule book or a guidebook or training. It is by definition, log on and go, and just understand what the recommended rules of the road are. It's not policy. It's just a recommendation to consider as you engage these new modern tools.